Cottonwood Heights is the type of community where little kids wear helmets while pedaling by on their bicycles. The homes often have 2 and 3 car garages, neatly trimmed lawns, and potted flowers decorating their front doorsteps. There, the poverty rate is low, and homes flanking the Wasatch Mountains often list for upwards of $500,000. It's not the sort of place one imagines federal agents arresting a 26-year-old man they accuse ran one of the largest vendors of synthetic opioids on the dark web. But it was here that law enforcement officials recovered about $1.2 million in cash from a home in an upscale neighborhood, and say Aaron Shamow and his associates shipped fentanyl-laced pills to all 50 states. This is just one segment of the problem, and it's hardly the most common. The truth is, Utah's opioid epidemic is multi-layered, and it's messy. For some people, the problem is more visible. It's sleeping in Pioneer Park, it's arriving by ambulance at emergency rooms across the state. But for a larger segment of the population, the epidemic is raging in neighborhoods just like this, neighborhoods that look and feel safe, and yet families are suffering in silence. That's because often the threats are not external. They're coming from within the medicine cabinet, in a pill prescribed to make you feel better.
You have to peel back the veneer and see behind the curtain, so to speak, on what's going on within a society, within a community. And the opioid epidemic is so fast proliferating right now. It's just sweeping across the country. And we have a lot of people who are quietly becoming addicted to this, and especially here in Utah. We're losing 26 to 30 folks a month from this. And I feel that those numbers are fairly conservative. I've traveled the state and I've talked to drug commanders and police chiefs and sheriffs, and we talk very candidly with one another, and some of them are just shaking their heads because they don't know what to do.
That's Brian Besser, the district agent in charge for the state of Utah with the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration. He says that despite losing more Utahns to opioid overdoses each month than from automotive and firearm incidents combined, there's not enough awareness of the scope of the problem. Besser sees prescription drug abuse as deeply embedded in the Utah culture, and he argues that we need to talk openly about it here if we're going to turn the tide in this epidemic. Because right now, he isn't sure that the opioid epidemic will burn out in Utah the same way he predicts it will in states back east, like New Hampshire and Ohio.
Here we have Utah, which is a fairly conservative state. It's a state where we have good, God-fearing folk who want to do the right thing and try to stay away from a lot of the conventional street drugs like heroin and cocaine and methamphetamine. We recognize that those are bad. Prescription drugs, because they're prescribed by a doctor and they come in a bottle that you get from a pharmacy, those have been treated a little bit more cavalierly. Consequently, the addiction problem from that has proliferated throughout the years, and it's a quiet problem. That laundry doesn't get aired out on the line so easily. And there's a certain stigma or element of shame with addiction, isn't there? And what we want to see is our good citizens and community members, if they become addicted to opioids, now more so than any other time in our culture, in our country, there are resources available to these folks to get out from under this. The problem is you have to raise your hand.
The opioid problem is more complex than traditional drug cases. The majority of drugs are not illicit, like methamphetamine and cocaine, and many people obtain them lawfully from a physician. In 2015, more than 2.6 million opioid prescriptions were dispensed in Utah. That's a rate of nearly one for every Utahn. In all likelihood, many of you listening may have such a bottle occupying space in your medicine cabinet right now, especially if you've recently had a baby, a surgery, or significant dental work performed. Not sure?
Any generic version of oxycodone, hydrocodone, and morphine. So some of those brand names are usually Lortab, Vicodin, Percocet, OxyContin. These are common ones that are prescribed a lot, and people don't realize, oh, this is what everyone's talking about. This is an opioid. And it's just as dangerous as an illicit heroin. It has the same effect, same potential for overdose death.
Angela Stander works as the Prescription Drug Overdose Prevention Coordinator for the Utah Department of Health. Earlier this year, the department launched a campaign to address the state's pill problem called Stop the Opidemic. The goal is to curb opioid misuse and abuse by educating the public about the risks for dependency and overdose when taking these powerful narcotics. Opioids are a type of drug that bind to receptors in the brain to produce pain-relieving and euphoric effects. They are a critical tool for physicians for treating patients with acute and severe pain, but they are also incredibly addictive.
Studies have shown that in as little as 7 days, you can become physically dependent on them, meaning that if you stop taking those, it's going to make you sick, that your body's going to essentially need these medications. So very little time can take place before you're hooked or your body becomes dependent on these. It's easy to talk to a lot of people. Most people will say, oh yeah, I took those once after surgery. They made me so sick. I hated those. I would never touch them again. But a lot of people too, once they take those, can get hooked the first time and can say that had a good effect on me. So it's important to understand too that everyone's at risk. There's no way to know if you're going to be that person that makes sick and you hate that, or if it can become something that can destroy your life.
Both Angela Stander and Brian Besser agree that there needs to be a sea change in the public's perception of prescription pain relievers. Both feel this change can be achieved over time through education efforts with the public and with prescribers, and through candid conversations between doctors and their patients.
If we're a high prescribing state, then we definitely want to prescribe less, and we got to educate doctors to do that, and also educate the public, because we understand we can't point fingers and blame this all on doctors, because it's really hard for them to change their prescribing behaviors when we as a society are the ones demanding it. So doing a lot of public awareness and helping kind of the patient meet the doctor halfway.
With Utah Public Radio, I'm Kristen Munson.